Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When we send our kids to school, we trust that they'll be in safe hands under the guidance of teachers who nurture their potential. But what happens when the trust is broken? What happens when the very people entrusted with shaping young minds cross boundaries that should never be crossed? Today, we're looking at two disturbing cases of teachers who have violated their roles as mentors and protectors. Everyone has heard of the case of Mary Kay Letourneau. A 34-year-old married teacher, Letourneau made national headlines in 1997 for her relationship with her 12-year-old student, Vili Folau. This case captured attention not only for the circumstances, but also because it was one of the first to bring such a dynamic into the public spotlight. The drastic age difference, combined with her trusted role as an educator, made it a cultural turning point in how these situations were viewed. Letourneau was sentenced to prison, where she gave birth to Folau's first child, further amplifying the public's fascination with the case. After being released on parole, she violated the conditions by continuing to see Folau and was sent back to serve the remainder of her sentence. During this time, she had a second child with him. Despite the scandal and the national outcry, Letourneau and Folau married in 2005 after she completed her sentence. Their relationship endured for over a decade until their separation in 2017. In 2020, Letourneau passed away from cancer at the age of 58. Folau, now an adult, took responsibility for his two daughters in the years following Mary Kay Letourneau's case. Numerous similar incidents have come to light. Here are just two examples. On April 17, 2006, 17-year-old Ashley Reeves left her home in Bellevue, Illinois, telling her parents she was going to a job interview. When she didn't return home that evening and couldn't be reached, her parents reported her missing. Police began their investigation by retracing Ashley's last known movements and speaking with her friends and family. During these interviews, one name came up repeatedly, Samson Shelton. Shelton, a 26-year-old high school teacher and wrestling coach, had been spending time with Ashley. Police brought Shelton in for questioning, and at first, he denied knowing anything about Ashley's disappearance. However, after hours of interrogation, Shelton's story changed. He admitted to meeting Ashley earlier that day. During an argument in his car, things escalated and Shelton assaulted her. Believing he had killed her, Shelton drove to a remote wooded area and left her there. With Shelton's confession, police rushed to the location he described. When they found Ashley, she had been lying motionless in the elements for over 30 hours. At first, they believed she was dead, but as one officer approached, they noticed a slight movement. She was still alive. Ashley was immediately rushed to the hospital, where doctors worked to save her life and treat her severe injuries. Once Ashley was found, police brought Shelton back in for further questioning. In this second interview, officers informed Shelton that Ashley had survived. His reaction had a casual tone to it and was devoid of remorse, which was shocking to investigators.
Just got back from going to the woods. It's about 2:30. We stopped the videotape after we found Ashley out there. I told you that when we found her, she's still breathing.
And she was responding.
She was responding to light when we were shining the flashlight in her eyes, and she was looking at us. So that's good.
Can she hear?
I don't know, but she was responding to some of the things we were saying, so I suspect that she is. I'm not a medical person anymore. I used to work on ambulance, so I don't really know that much about it because I can't say a whole lot, you know. So we can just hope and pray for the best at this point here. So, but it's a good thing that she's in good shape.
Right.
What we need to do, and the reason I brought you back in here, Sam, so we can talk. I want to go over everything that happened.
Okay.
You told me a little bit, but you were really upset, and it was kind of hard to talk, so I want you to... And here's the thing, you know, Sam, this is the point.
I know.
Do not hold back on anything.
I know.
I need the 110%.
I know.
Okay? And now, you got to understand, you lie a whole lot, so we're to this point now. Now is the time to just tell me, okay? So start at the beginning and tell me what everything that happened, okay?
Okay.
And you understand you're still on, you know, this video room and all that.
Okay, so I ended up...
Hold on a second. While we were out there, I didn't beat you, coerce you, make your promises or anything like that, right?
Right.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so I met her at Lydon Park at somewhere between 3:45 and 4. I think it was probably a little bit before 4.
Okay.
I met her at Lydon Park there. She got in my car, and what we did, we drove down 177. We turned around in the... Do I need to give you where all we went during this? The entire street route.
Please, okay. If you know.
Okay, as much as I can recall, which is not the Family Sportsplex, the bar that's right there.
Caddyshack.
Went to Caddyshack, turned back around, went down the street, then made a left, right across from McClintock, made a left, turned around dead end street, came back, hit the Family Sportsplex. We were driving around arguing the majority of the time. Let's see, hit to the Sportsplex, came back down, then made a right over like two streets down past that detour sign that's up there, circled around, went back down, and I can't remember if it was Caddyshack or Sportsplex we turned around in again. Just kind of stayed right there in that general area, drove back. This time I took a right, right after where the Casey's is by the Robin's Nest. Took a right, went up that road, came back down, and kind of went left, not left. After made the right at Robin's Nest, went to the road where the little triangle thing is in there, circled around that, came down, then turned right, so Casey's on our left, so we turned right back onto 177. Going back up, went down by Garfield's, went around the block, and headed back toward... that's where we headed toward Radio Range.
Okay.
And going toward Radio Range right there.
And you're driving your car?
I'm driving my car.
And where is she sitting?
She's in passenger seat.
Okay.
We get to Radio Range Road. My intentions were, when I was there, I was so angry at her, I was going to take her, and I just wanted to literally throw her out of the car, is what I wanted to do, get rid of her.
Why were you angry at her?
Because we had just been arguing over a lot of things, and the major thing was that she was upset because she had mentioned the previous week, and she had mentioned to me on Wednesday that she wanted to have sexual relations with me. And
what do you mean by sexual relations?
She just wanted to have sex.
Okay.
So, anyway, I told her it was not a good thing to do. I did not want to do it. That's
and
pretty
how
much.
Many times have you had sex with her before?
One time.
One time. When was that? A year ago?
No. I'm estimating this because I don't know the exact date.
Okay.
I met her at Mardi Gras the Saturday that the big parade was going on. I don't know the date. I think it was the 25th or the 23rd.
Okay.
And I'm not for sure. And it was about a week later, maybe 2 weeks later. I can't give you an actual date.
Where did you guys have sex at?
We had it at the Millside Park in the back of... her mom's SUV vehicle. Okay. I don't know what time it is.
About what time of day was it?
It was on a Saturday.
Was it dark out?
No, it was like 12, maybe.
Noon?
Right around that time.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
Where was it?
So you were mad at her because you guys were she wanted to have sex. You didn't want to have sex.
Right. The other thing we were arguing about was that she said since I did it the first time, why can't I do it again? And that's when I explained to her, I don't think of her that way. And she said, well, I didn't think of you that way the first time.
Okay.
Which then I said, no, that's not true. Otherwise, you wouldn't have done that. And she said, well, otherwise, you wouldn't have done that to me. And I don't know. So we're already arguing about that.
Okay.
So that's where I pulled over and stopped. Now, when I pulled over, I didn't actually get into the grass. I was still on the road itself.
Okay.
So I got out of my car.
On Radio Range Road. How far off 177?
I'm not good at estimations.
Mile, half mile.
I don't think Radio Range is a mile long. I can tell you this. As soon as you make a left, keep going down Radio Range, and the first little spot that you see that has like a little bit of gravel that comes off the road, a little bit, it's a patch that's maybe about that wide.
Okay.
I stopped about right there.
Okay.
And that's where I got out. That's where I opened the door, came over, hit her seatbelt button right there to unlock the seatbelt. And that's where I grabbed her and I started pulling her and pulling her and trying to pull her out of the car. And then when I got her out, if I'm her sitting in the seat, when I tried to get, when she was right here, she's trying to hold on. And I just used all my weight. I just pulled back. I just completely pulled back, and that's where I heard the pop right there. And when I heard that pop, sorry, that's sickening.
Where did the pop come from?
It hurt and felt like a neck.
Okay.
Was
her head on the top the roof of the car? Is that why?
No,
right. Door jam or
how? No, I had her. In almost like we're going to give somebody a DDT. You know how they hook for a DDT and go down? I just hooked her, and I tried to pull her out.
And was she holding on? Is that why, or what?
I don't know. Well, she was grabbing for the middle console in a car right there. When I say middle console, I'm talking about the little flip thing that goes up.
Okay.
So, I pulled. I felt that pop and heard that pop.
And then what happens?
After that, it's just like the body felt. It just went limp. It just went limp.
Okay.
And went limp. Went limp. Her.
And it was just tough. You have to remember she's alive.
I know.
Okay.
That popping just. I'm never going to forget that.
Yeah.
Her feet were still sort of in the car. If I had like a dowel or something, I'm gonna show you. And when she just felt limp right there, I didn't know what to do. I kind of had hold of her, and I was like, Ashley, and she didn't respond. So I just set her back in the car. I just kind of had to push her over. I set her in the car, and her neck was just kind of. Like that. It was just kind of like that. And she was kind of going forward a little bit. And I stopped, put the seatbelt on her. And at that point, when the seatbelt was on, she was able to stay upright.
Okay. Her head was leaning forward like that.
It was an actual angle and everything. I don't know. I didn't even want to look. I can't stand brakes. It's one thing that freaks me out. And she was kind of like that.
Okay.
Is how I'd say she was.
Okay.
And
what were you thinking then? You're thinking that she was dead?
At that point, I wanted to rush her to the hospital, but I knew if I took her to the hospital, that sounds stupid, but all fingers would be pointing toward me, which they had every right to. I was really scared at that point.
Right.
I was very, very, very scared. So
Did you think she was dead at that?
Yeah, because she was not moving. And the thing I had to do, I had to put my hat, like, because I couldn't stand, look at her head, face. I had to put it like that. I was looking at the stomach to see if I could see any movement, any breathing. And I didn't see nothing. And I wanted to look at her face to see if she had any color right there. And then I thought, once I heard that pop, that maybe automatically she was already dead, because I always thought when you break the neck, you're dead.
Most people, that is true.
So, anyway.
What were you doing with your hand? I didn't understand that.
Oh, I can't stand to see breaks, and it was sickening.
Was it sticking out the back or something?
I don't know. Oh, okay. I didn't want to look. After I heard that pop, and I set her back in there, I saw her body is. That's where I turned around, actually, on radio range right there. Turned around, and what I'm saying is I kind of popped a U-ey, or did a turnabout, whatever you want to call it. Drove back to 177. Had no idea what I was going to do. No idea. I was thinking hospital.
Right.
That was the first thought that crossed my mind. And then I thought, well, maybe I can drop her off at her truck, is what I thought. Right. And I didn't want to do that. So, you know, I thought maybe I can just hide her somewhere.
Okay.
So, when I was driving down, I remembered, since we had gone to Citizens before, that there's that wooded area that was over there. So, I pulled up to Citizens. I got to that first entrance right there. Got out of my car quickly. Looked down, I saw the water in the creek. Got back in. Drove down that little more to the same entrance that we had entered in.
Okay.
And because I remember seeing a tire right there.
Okay.
So anyway, I saw that I could get her down there. So I opened up the door. Took your seatbelt off. Sorry. And her seatbelt off. And I reached in there. You kind of had to, like, take her legs.
Okay.
Take her legs like this. Flip it over so that her feet were out of the car. And then I had to kind of take her.
What were you were thinking she was dead?
I did.
Yeah.
So, at that point, you know, I picked her up. I was carrying her. I was carrying her like this, and it was almost like a baby. I was trying to support her neck because I couldn't stand to see the neck just dangling. So anyway, I got her, and I set her like right by, kind of down, but not quite down. She was.
You set her by. You're talking about by the car.
No, I'm talking by the ditch, because I went and moved my car.
And then went back into the woods.
Then I went back into the woods, okay. And I looked around. I didn't see a single person, so I thought, okay, picked her up, and that's where I started taking that creek. I started walking along there, and yeah. I made, like I said, I don't know that route, because I had never been in there before, sure. And I remember walking, and I remember seeing that little trail. I walked along that little trail right there. And then I saw the creek again.
Okay.
First thought in my mind, what I was going to do was I was going to take her and I was going to toss her into the creek right there. What I was going to do.
Okay.
So I set her down. I thought, I can't throw it into the creek. Can't do it. I thought, I'm in some deep shit, is what I thought. I am in some deep trouble. So I thought, how in the world am I going to cover this up? So I'm just standing there. I was a nervous wreck, thinking, what do I do? What do I do? So I remembered in my car, I had this big belt. It was thick belt, about like that.
Okay.
And it was made of kind of like this material, except A little thicker, I guess.
Okay.
I wanted to make it look like she got strangled there in the woods.
Okay.
So while she was laying there, I took the belt, and when I took the belt, I pulled it on her neck right there.
Around her neck, okay.
Around her neck, I pulled it.
Okay.
And at that point, when I pulled it, and I held on. I don't know how long I held on, but I held on. And I had to turn my head because I didn't want to see.
Did you hear her making any noise?
Yeah, that's the thing. All of a sudden, I heard like a gurgle kind of sound, and then all of a sudden, when I heard the gurgle, I let go, and when I let go, she had spit foam coming out of her mouth.
Okay.
And I don't know if it was spit foam drool. I have no idea what it was, but I saw it coming out of her mouth. And then I'd seen that she was the sickest color I'd ever seen. It looked like literally like she had stopped breathing is what it looked like.
Okay.
So anyway, after that, she's laying on the ground.
Okay.
And I didn't want to, but something just told me I had to look again. And I looked again and looked at her stomach. There's nothing. So anyway, I took it. I tied it like show them my shoe. So I kind of had it around her. So that's her neck right there.
Can you move it over more that way so I can see it? There you go. Okay.
So if this is her head right here, or her neck, I kind of tied it like that. Boom. And
okay.
It didn't pull apart like that. It stayed.
And it was around her neck, you said? Okay.
Fortunately.
Okay.
So I did that. Okay. And at that point, I heard a noise, and all of a sudden, I saw the stomach go... Stomach went... It was just like... Phew. It kind of went up in the air.
Like she was breathing, you think?
I don't know. I didn't know if it was for maybe when I tightened it right there, that air had just pushed in.
Okay.
So then what I did, right then, I untightened it. And when I untightened it right there, the stomach just went back down. So I thought, okay, it's air escaping.
Okay.
And then one last time, did it again, one last time, same thing happened. And then... At that point,
did you hear her gasping for air?
I hear him gasping. I heard a noise and I saw spit. I saw like saliva, like it like bubbled. It just went.
Okay.
So I untightened it, and then all of a sudden the stomach it went back in.
Okay.
And then at this point, her tongue was like kind of protruding, like between like that between the teeth.
Okay.
And after that, I got out of there. After that, I shouldn't say that because I looked and I was watching and I didn't stay long. I was looking and I put my ear down right there by her. She did not breathe. So what I did, I took some. I'm sorry, I forgot about this.
You kind of thinking maybe she was a little alive at that
point? I didn't know because I had, like I said, I saw that stomach go up both times and then it went back down. So I didn't know, and that's when I listened, and I couldn't hear anything. So I stared at her stomach because you could see that easily if the stomach was moving.
Okay.
So I'm looking at her stomach. I saw no movement.
Okay.
So I thought, crap. Took these whatever kind of leaves, bushes it was that was growing right there. I picked some of those off. And I just covered it. I started covering her face.
Okay.
and like her chest and area and everything. So I covered that. And I just after I covered it up right there, I just ran. I'm sorry. When I was after that, I took my foot and I kind of went over right there to just string the footprints that may have been there.
Okay.
And after that, I just took off. And I mean, I literally darted through there like a bat out of hell. I darted through there, and I found my way out instantly. I don't know how, but it was like instantly. It seemed like I found my way out, and I went up that little entrance that we came in.
Okay.
I went up that thing, and then I darted up the hill, got my car, took off. That's
where's the belt? Where's that?
I took the belt and I just threw it.
Where did you throw it?
I got in the car, and when I was on Highway 15, I just took it. I just tossed it out the window. I tossed it out the passenger.
About where were you at on 15?
I don't know. It was the first opportunity. There's no cars behind me. I know that. Because I would literally slow down and let cars get around.
So you could throw it out.
Threw it out.
You said something about when we were on the scene there with her, about one shoe being off.
I had no idea. Was there one shoe off? Or was I seeing things?
Both shoes were off.
See, when I left, she had both shoes on. She was fully clothed. She was completely fully clothed. And when I saw that shoe, that's what shocked me more than anything. Because when you shine that light right there, and I saw her, did she have any bushes over her face? She had to have moved them. She had to, because she was under those bushes. She was under the bushes. And when you shine that light on her right there, and I saw that, I felt like my heart had just stopped. And then I just looked over, and that's where I saw the shoe. It was right there. And that freaked me out when I saw the shoe. I don't know what freaked me out more, when you first shined the light there, when I saw the shoe. So,
okay. Yeah, both her shoes were off.
Okay.
And they were up by her hand.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. If you need me to go back there, if you guys have that spot marked where you found her, I can show you where I had put her.
Okay.
Right there.
You think she was moved from there? From the spot you put
her? I don't know. That's what shocked me to death when I saw that. That's why when I got up, I was so happy that she was alive. But then all of a sudden, I got really freaked out that her shoe was off and that there was nothing over her face.
Okay.
I mean, there was nothing there.
Did you put anything around her ankles?
No.
Okay, because it looked like she had some what we call ligature marks around her ankles.
What's that ligature?
Well, like what you had done around her neck.
Oh,
it looked
no.
like there was something around her ankles.
Oh, no. So.
Did you pull her by her feet at any point?
No. When I drug her, I did it by the shoulders. I did it underneath.
Okay.
I did it underneath, so I did that.
So it sounds like you were thinking that you had killed her. And you wanted to hide her so you didn't get in trouble.
Yep.
But then when you got there, it sounds like, from what you were saying...
I freaked out.
Well, yeah, definitely you freaked out. But it sounds like when you got there, she was still alive and you had some indications of that.
Are you talking about tonight or Thursday?
Last night.
Yeah, okay. Yesterday.
When you got her there last night, when you drug her into the woods... You had some indications that she may have been still alive, but you weren't sure what to do.
Yeah, because are you talking about when I got her to the woods or into the woods? You talking about
into the woods and through the woods with the gurgling and the phone.
Yeah, I see. One thing I kept thinking of was my grandpa when he had his heart attack.
Uh-huh.
We were sitting in there by his bed there at St. Elizabeth's where he had died.
Okay,
and I remember I went to give him a hug. When I gave him a hug and I pushed on his chest, all of a sudden I heard this noise, gurgling noise, and it scared me half to death, and I jumped back, and I can't remember, I think it was my grandma that was right there. I said, he just made a noise. She said, honey, she said, that's just a gurgling noise. She said, you pushed on his chest. So I thought maybe when I first tightened right there, and that gurgling noise, that's what it reminded me of, was from my grandpa. It was from that gurgling noise. And then again, when I did the stupidest thing, and I tied that right there, and all of a sudden, you just see the stomach go up. So I thought that maybe it was air, like, trapped in there. And then when you let go, it went back down. But then if you tighten it again, it's like it goes back up. So I don't know. I feel absolutely horrible that she was out there for that long and she was living through that.
Good thing is she's alive, partner.
I wish she can walk.
Yeah.
I sure hope she can walk.
You too.
Dude, I'm never going to forget that popping noise.
I would imagine, Sam, that's something horrible. I do wish you would have just taken her to the hospital, though, Sam.
I know.
That,
I was scared to death for, and it sounds selfish as can be, I was scared to death for myself.
Yeah.
I really was.
It does sound selfish, it does.
And I decided I never get to do the thing I love again, which is teaching and I mean, I'll never be able to do that now anyway, but I should have did the right thing then.
Yeah.
I'm just glad she's alive.
Was there any blood in your car? Did you have to clean out your car or anything?
No.
So you haven't cleaned out your car or anything like that?
The only thing I did today, the officers, Dan and the other guy, they saw me do it. They had searched my car, and they found up inside through a bunch of empty bottles and a bunch of empty Grizzly cans that were in there. I threw those away.
Threw those away.
But you had to get a scrub brush and clean inside.
No.
You don't mind if we search your car again and go through it and stuff like that?
Okay.
You understand you don't have to give us that consent, but I appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, that's fine. So, is my car in your custody now, I guess?
Temporarily, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we would probably do it later today. We're not going to do it tonight. Go through it. So,
okay.
Do you have the keys, by the way?
Yeah, I do. They're right here.
Okay. I'll just remind me to get those.
Yeah.
During transport and the whole time we've been talking, Sam.
From the woods.
When we left from here and went out there.
Oh yeah.
While we were out there, when we came back, I just want to cover a few things just to make sure no one treated you bad.
No.
No one beat you.
No.
No one made you promises.
No.
Okay. You willingly talked to us the whole time.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. We went over the Miranda rights with you earlier.
Well, you didn't, but...
I did. Right. But they did. They went over the fact that you can have an attorney at any time, and if you can't afford one, it'll be appointed. You know, all that stuff. Anything you say could be used against you in court. All those you went through and signed those and you understood that, right?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. And that you didn't have to talk to us, but you did the right thing by talking to us.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously
things are better than I talked.
Yes. She's alive.
I know.
And Sam, she may not have made it through another night.
I know.
I can't believe she made it.
I can't either.
Yeah.
I was so happy.
Yeah. Yeah. What we have to do now is put everything together, and then it's ultimately up to the state's attorney's office.
Is that Hayden?
Is that what they do? Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's his office. It's not directly him, but it's his office to decide what we do from this point. I told you earlier, I had to put handcuffs on you before we went out there, that you are in custody, and, it's up to them to decide what happens with that.
Okay.
I appreciate you talking to us and telling us the truth about it, and we can just all hope and pray that Ashley pulls out of this.
They have their parents been contacted?
Yes.
Okay.
Investigator Hundo, the big guy, went directly to their house to tell them to bring them to the hospital.
And they're thrilled.
Oh, yes. I'm sure. Is there anything else you can think of? This is the time if there's anything you're leaving out that you really need to tell me.
No.
Okay.
Oh, there's nothing.
Okay. All right, buddy. I'm going to have you sit here just for a minute, and then...
Okay. Hey, when you search my car, can you throw my Grizzly cans out there in there?
Throw them what?
My Grizzly cans out.
Throw them what?
Yeah, because my mom's probably going to take my car.
Oh,
she doesn't know I chew.
Okay.
Or if you see any spitters in there.
Okay. Could you give me your keys?
Yeah.
You okay. Now, we're probably going to do this tomorrow, just so you know. So.
What's
that? Where are you parked?
Oh, I'm parked... confused.
In front of the flagpole?
Yeah, I think so.
What kind of car is it?
Ford Mustang White, 2004.
Not a Cobra, is it?
No.
Okay.
Can't drive a stick?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to put it down in the garage.
Okay.
I'm secure it from that, so.
Cool.
So
what, I guess the night here tonight, I guess?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And probably all weekend?
I can tell you definitely tonight, past that point, it's up to the state's attorney's office.
Okay. Is that where they go for bail and bond?
Right. If I was to tell you something, it would be making you a promise, and I can't do that. I can't make you any promises, okay? So I don't...
Okay, am I going to be able to get, like, my contact solution and take my contacts out and toothbrush and...
I don't think so.
I can't take my contacts out either?
And maybe they'll give you something for that down there, but I don't think they... I really don't know.
All right, am I able to get, like, a little private toilet because I can't pee when there's people around because of my urinary stress disorder?
Yeah, I don't know, Sam. I'll tell them that that's what you want, but I don't know if they'll be able to do that.
I'll be miserable if I can't pee.
Yeah. Well, I'll be back in it, okay?
Okay. Hey, do I stay in a holding cell kind of thing, or do I stay in, like, in the actual jail?
You'll be in a holding cell, which is in the jail.
Okay.
Shelton was arrested and charged with attempted murder. During his interrogation and throughout the legal proceedings, his casual demeanor and lack of remorse shocked investigators and the public. He pleaded guilty to attempted first-degree murder in 2007 and was sentenced to 20 years in prison. After serving approximately 17 years, Shelton was released on parole on April 22, 2024. He is scheduled to remain on parole until April 22, 2027. Ashley Reeves had to learn to walk and talk all over again. Her recovery was long and difficult, but she has gone on to rebuild her life. She has since spoken out about her experience, emphasizing the importance of recognizing and addressing the warning signs of inappropriate relationships. Today, Ashley is an advocate for victims, sharing her story to raise awareness and help others in similar situations. In March 2017, Tad Cummins, a 50-year-old high school teacher from Columbia, Tennessee, disappeared with 15-year-old Elizabeth Thomas, one of his students. The situation quickly drew national attention as concerns grew for Elizabeth's safety. Their relationship, which had already prompted warnings from school officials and her family, was at the center of the case. Cummins had recently been suspended from his teaching position after reports surfaced of inappropriate behavior involving Elizabeth. Despite the scrutiny, he managed to execute a plan to leave town with her on March 13, 2017, picking her up from a local restaurant. Evidence would later reveal that Cummins had referred to Elizabeth as his wife during their time in hiding, leading authorities to believe he intended to marry her. Their disappearance sparked a massive manhunt and an Amber Alert, with investigators tracking their movements across multiple states. After more than 5 weeks, the search led authorities to a remote cabin in Northern California. There, law enforcement found Cummins and Elizabeth. He was taken into custody without incident, and Elizabeth was safely returned to her family. Cummins pleaded guilty to federal charges of transporting a minor across state lines and obstruction of justice. In 2018, he was sentenced to 20 years in prison. Elizabeth, deeply impacted by the experience, has since worked to rebuild her life away from the public eye. Are these cases on the rise? Some research suggests that they are, with many pointing to factors like the increased prevalence of social media and digital communication. These tools, while valuable in education, can also blur professional boundaries when misused. Others argue that such cases have always existed, but are now being reported more frequently due to greater awareness and improved oversight. before I close, I want to thank my two latest patrons, Diana and Shannon. Thank you, Diana and Shannon. Your support is very much appreciated. And thank you all for listening to this episode. If you enjoy the show and want to help keep it going, consider supporting Crematorium on Patreon or Ko-Fi. The links to those two are in the show notes. Sharing the show and leaving a review is also a big help. Until next time, take care.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.